Hi, this is Zach. Welcome to the Coleraine Connection.
The official
behind the scenes
inside scoop
down Gilead Lane
Funcast.
And now, your hosts, Lori Twitchell and Steve O'Dell.
Circumstance as the kids are marching in. But the thing is, they had these like paper hats. It's like, why would you put such cheap, flimsy material on the head of kindergarten boys, you know, five,
yeah,
6-year-old boys, you know? So the thing just like wouldn't stay on. I mean, we were using like double-sided tape on Michael's and about halfway through, before they actually go up to get their little kindergarten, you know, graduation certificate,
right,
he can't get it to stay off, so he walks back to where we're sitting and hands it to me.
Oh dear.
You know? Yeah. And Kelly's like, you need to go put that on him, he's gonna walk up on stage without a hat. And I'm like, is that really the end of the world, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, I go back and he's like, I need more tape.
Oh wow.
So I'm like, just hold it on, you know. Anyway, but it was cute.
You know, our school doesn't have kindergarten graduation. Christian's in kindergarten, and she looked at me and said, at the end of the day today, I'm going to be a first grader.
Yep, that's cool.
So
That's really all they need.
Yeah, I mean she's okay with that.
I was too.
So there you go. Oh!
Hey!
Is it time?
yeah. Sorry, we got a little distracted just talking about the end of the school year stuff.
You guys get Steve and Lori unedited at the beginning.
That's right. Hey, welcome everybody. Coleraine Connection,
21.
CC Funcast number 21. Yeah.
We have made it into the double digits, sort of.
But we've got some exciting stuff to talk about here today. We're going to recap the last two episodes, of course.
We have some great listener mail, and we got some great voicemails.
Cool feedback, yeah.
And we heard from you guys this time. We love that. Yep. And of course, you know, we're heading up to the final two episodes of the season. So,
yes,
you know, we'll be talking about that a little bit too.
Uh huh.
And
deleted scenes. Don't forget that we are going to do deleted scenes this time around.
Yeah, I don't think we can help but do deleted scenes because we had some very large deleted scenes in at least one of those episodes.
Yep.
And so that seems to be our very quick, what are you going to get in this podcast?
That's our agenda. Now let's get into it. So, episode 10-9. Going through the motions.
Yes.
A lot going on in that episode. The cool thing about that episode, I mean, maybe I think it was cool, was that it was very Morrison light. It was almost zero Morrison presence.
Yes, but we learned a lot about some new, very favorite characters, like some new characters and some old favorite characters, too.
Right.
That, of course, being the Townsends.
Yes. The Townsends and a little bit about the Richters.
Yeah, I'd say
Maya.
We learned a little about the Richters, too. So that was very, very well done. People seemed to like it.
What kind of feedback did we get on this one, Lauren?
Well, on our poll, we had 8 people said they absolutely loved it. Amazing,
cool,
stupendous, phenomenal.
50% of the results were in that camp.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And then we had Lark popped in and said, I really, 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 really liked this episode.
That's 5 reallys.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it says, since my whole family doesn't listen to DGL together, I told my mom pretty much everything that happened in the episode, and she even liked it too.
Cool.
At first, I thought Anna seemed a lot like Brooke with a really super busy schedule, but Anna's mom didn't make her drop out of anything like Mrs. Morrison had made Brooke.
So,
2 different ways to approach things with families.
Interesting distinction there.
It is. And Lark also said, I really liked how Anna prayed for her mom in the middle of the day, too. Just right there. So that's kind of cool. And Lark also said, at the end, Zach said, and you know what? I'm going to grab an ice cream cone. And I didn't get that at all. It seemed really, really random, and it confused me.
Okay, well, that wasn't the purpose, really. I promise.
You didn't set out just to confuse Lark?
No. The idea there was, at the beginning of the episode, we kind of were like, they're kind of like walking down Main Street with Zach as he was kind of like pointing out the different locations right downtown Coleraine.
Uh-huh.
So he was still there. He was still in that space, you know, at the end of the show. And yeah, so he was just saying he just noticed, you know, the ice cream shack on the corner there that he wanted to go get a cone. So it wasn't intended to like be like, what does that mean? It was nothing deep. It was just, you know, Zach just wanted to go get some ice cream. And
as do a lot of us when it's summertime and
so true.
And walking down the street and you just think ice cream would be good. I'll bet you that's why they invented ice cream trucks.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. And we also heard from Aquarius.
Yes.
Said, this was an awesome episode. I think there might be spoilers, but you can read on if you dare. I think it's okay because, you know, we're 2 weeks away.
That's
amazing,
true.
Phenomenal, stupendous, stupamazal.
Stupazimal?
There you go.
See, I like this kind of like trend that we've started here. Of
we did. We mushing all those words together. Says, this was a great episode, and I really enjoyed it, even though I couldn't hear it that well because I was in another room while my sister listened. But I thought it was a great lesson, and I give it a big drum roll. And there's 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6 out of 5 stars. There's like bunches of sixes there. Yeah. And Aquarius also asked a very important question.
Yes.
Kind of brings a little serious tone into things because I am going to let Mr. O'Dell handle this. But he wants to know, who was the hero Kevin Brown?
Oh, right. Okay, so we dedicated the show to Kevin Brown, and I did kind of see some of the questions there on the message boards about who that was. It's interesting because we never had credited Kevin, even though he was involved in quite a few of the episodes. Karen, our actress that plays Grace, lives in Kalamazoo, which is about a 45-minute drive from us here in Grand Rapids, and sometimes... just because of Karen's schedule and her health at times, she has not been able to make the trip to Grand Rapids to record. So I will go down to Kalamazoo on those occasions and record her lines at a studio in Kalamazoo. And that studio was owned by Kevin Brown, and he was our engineer for those sessions. And there were even some times when I wasn't able to make the trip. Here most recently in the last couple of episodes that Grace was in, I just sent the script and trusted Kevin to do the directing and the engineering, and he did a fantastic job. And so he became more involved in those last few episodes that Grace was in over time, and he died unexpectedly. I know that Lori kind of gave the details on that on the message boards, but he was in the hospital for about a week, never regained consciousness, and he died after being in the hospital for about a week. And this episode, Going Through the Motions, was the last episode that he was involved in, so we wanted to dedicate it to him.
And our prayers are definitely going out to his family, because he did leave his wife
And
two kids behind, and we all feel very much for that. So Kevin Brown, very much, you know, as there are a lot of people involved in getting Dangulade Lane out there that you may not know about.
Right.
We do have a lot of people who are in those roles, and we aren't always able to fit them into the credits, but it doesn't mean that they aren't totally appreciated.
And the cool thing about Kevin's life is he was a believer, and he actually was a fantastic musician as well as a great audio engineer. And he did a lot of praise and worship at his church and in different venues, and just really, you know, just a really cool story, and a lot of great, you know, glory to God has happened just as his life has been celebrated here at the time of his death. So just some really cool stuff that a lot of it I didn't even know about Kevin, because, you know, he wasn't much of a self-promoter. He's a very humble guy, and so a lot of things about his life that I just didn't even know that I have learned just since he's died. And so that's really cool, and God's getting the glory, and that's
probably what Kevin would want.
Yep, exactly.
So that's really cool.
Yeah, and this episode, being written by John Fornoff, didn't have quite as many deleted scenes as episodes written by Lori, but there is a little bit that got cut, and we'll be playing part of a deleted scene a little bit later on. So do we want to move on to
10-10? I think we can move on to 10-10.
All right.
Love is a many splintered thing.
Another not real Morrison heavy episode.
No, it wasn't. But, you know, I personally was excited about this episode because I do like the changes that are happening in the Rector family.
Yes.
As Tom grows into his faith and begins to learn how to live his life on a completely new set of standards.
Yeah.
The old ways don't work anymore. You know?
Right, yeah. Sorry, I was just taking a slurp of coffee while you were talking there. So,
okay, that's all right. I forgive you.
Sorry about the dead air there. The thing I found cool about this episode was that we returned once again to the spring ball, which is what season five was all about. Mm-hmm. And, of course, if you remember season five, that's a ways back there, but Tiffany at the time was determined to be the queen of the ball.
Yes.
And she was pretty much burned by circumstances and, you know, Becca and the things going on in her life. And so that was kind of like a burn for Tiffany. But here in this one, she actually gets what she's always wanted.
But is it as good as what she thought it was going to be?
Right. Doesn't quite turn out like she had always pictured it. So that was kind of a cool twist there as well.
It was. And redeemed by God's love said... Uh-huh. Amazing. I love this episode. I especially love the stuff with Tiffany. I loved that Tiffany and Tom got closer.
Yep.
And the part where Tiffany asked for Tom instead of Monica was very touching. And I loved how Tiffany talked to Tom that she, this time, actually learned something.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Strong in Christ said, I loved it. I was trying my best not to laugh during the time when Randy was at the Richter's house.
That was kind of funny there.
Yeah. It was an interesting moment.
Yeah.
And for a bit, I thought Tiffany was going to become a Christian at the end, but alas, she didn't. No, it can take a while with some people, and some people never do get there. You never know what might happen. But she is softening up, and Strong in Christ disagreed with the ending and what Zach said about how Tiffany should have practiced the golden rule like Hope had when she was working with Rocky.
Uh-huh.
This person disagreed for a couple of reasons. Tiffany isn't a Christian, and because of that, it's really hard to do the golden rule as a non-Christian, especially one who has always been very spoiled and selfish. And for two, I never heard how Tiffany could have known the golden rule, but other than that, I liked it. My thoughts on that are that the golden rule, there are a lot of people in the world who have no idea that the golden rule is actually a Christian concept from the Bible.
Oh, okay.
I think when we were kids, Steve, there was a Schoolhouse Rock episode about the golden rule.
Yeah.
Treat other people the way that you should be, that you want to be treated.
Right.
It's just a general concept, and it is from the Bible. It would surprise people, I think.
Yeah. I mean, the standard is for everybody, you know? The biblical standard is not just for Christians, it's for everybody. And that's why we all need Christ, you know? So there aren't different rules for Christians and for people who aren't yet Christians. It's just that it's hard to expect people who aren't Christians to hold to the standard.
The expectations are a little bit different.
Right, right. I think it was a great illustration of what Strong in Christ actually says here. Is that it's really hard to do the golden rule as a non-Christian. It's hard to do the golden rule for all of us.
It's hard to understand why. You know, why should you bother doing the golden rule?
Right, right. But it's hard to do the golden rule, you know, whether you're a Christian or not. And it's a great reminder to all of us that we need Christ. So hopefully, you know, maybe this will be a catalyst for Tiffany's awareness of her need for Jesus.
We can hope that. And, we really wanted to lay out the lesson with Hope.
Yeah.
You know, put it straight out there. Here's why you should treat other people this way and show how it works. And then we wanted to just give an example of what can happen to you when you don't.
Right.
And nobody was preaching at Tiffany.
Right.
Nobody said you brought this upon yourself.
Nobody
had
to. It's
just one of those, it's just one of those hard lessons that sometimes you have to learn on your own. So I really loved writing this episode, and I think you can tell that by the extra 10 minutes.
Yep.
And so...
So this is one that I'm guessing if you want to hear the full unedited version of it, you may have to buy the single, the MP3 or the CD single.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, I just want to address that. Even though the shopcbh.org store doesn't list every single episode as a CD single, Mm-hmm. If you call and ask, we can make CDs of every episode.
We can make that happen
for
you.
We can make that happen, yeah. So, you know, MP3s is kind of like what we're pushing just because that seems to be where the technology is going. For people who still want it on a CD that we could
we got
mail
you
to
covered.
Them, we could do that. But the set, you know, the big set of all 12 episodes that's coming out probably won't have room for the totally unedited version of Love is a Many Splintered Thing.
I just make Steve's life so difficult sometimes.
That's okay.
I do, but I think that he enjoyed this episode.
I did.
As much as I did, so I think that's okay. But we do have one of those deleted scenes.
Yes.
Do we not?
Yes, and we'll be getting to that as well after the mailbag segment. We'll play and I don't want to get into it now. It's going to be a great one. It's a great one. So don't change that iPod channel. Keep listening to today's podcast and you'll hear it.
Oh, Steve's starting to tease. We better hurry on to the mailbag before something dastardly happens.
Okay.
Hi there. This is Ian Chai from Malaysia. I'm a new daddy with a 7-month-old baby, and I found DGL on One Place a couple of years ago and have been listening ever since. I enjoy listening to DGL while commuting. I look forward to listening to DGL with her when she's old enough. I thought you'd find it interesting to hear how to say, every day needs a little grace in Malay. Setiap hari perlu sedikit kasih karunia.
A listener from Malaysia, can you believe it?
That is so cool.
Yeah, Ian, thank you so much for emailing that to us. He did call the comment line. But I think he was a little afraid about the quality. And obviously, the best way to get the best quality on yourself would be to record yourself and then just email that audio to me. So, you know, that's another option. If you want.
And that eliminates those of you out of the United States. That eliminates your not toll-free charges.
Right.
Do that for free.
If you don't want to call the comment line and you do have the ability to record yourself, which, come on, let's face it, most computers nowadays have got some kind of microphone that you can record.
Right. And they're relatively inexpensive to buy.
Right, if you wanted to. But you could record yourself, you know, have a little audio file, whether it's MP3 or WMA or WAVE or whatever, and email that to our CC Funcast address.
And we will get you into the podcast.
And you will, yeah, you'll sound probably just as good as me and Lori then.
Because I'm recording into a microphone in my computer.
But how cool is it that Ian listens to Gilead on his commute? And he's a new dad, and he's already got plans for listening to Down Gilead Lane with,
that is awesome.
With his kids. That is really cool.
I love that. And thank you. I mean, that just made our... I mean, Steve and I were calling each other this week and saying, did you see that? Did you hear it?
Yeah. That's a great intro to our mailbag segment. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to have a haiku.
Because we have a very spectacular haiku.
Yes.
Also from outside the United States of America, which made us just geeky this week.
Imagine that. Yeah.
I mean, Steve and I just thought that was awesome.
We are crossing boundaries.
We have no boundaries except the ones that God has placed before
us. That's right. Okay, well, I read the haiku last time, so let me get the music going here, Lori, and you can do this one. Go ahead.
Okay, this is from Cassandra, who is 13 and lives in England. Light breeze, pallid moon, shimmering lake, whispering grass, placid ambience.
Ooh.
That's like way cool.
That's like real poetry.
That is. I mean, that blows Lori's haikus out of the water.
And it buys me yet another couple weeks. So thank you for that as well.
You guys are saving Steve on this, let me tell you.
Uh-huh.
She
does apologize for the fussy words, which...
Oh, but I love the...
I think
it was fantastic. I love the fussy words.
I didn't find them fussy at all, so...
I didn't either. And she also had a couple of questions here. So since she did the haiku, can we introduce the mailbag with her questions?
Let's open it up. Let's go.
Okay. How is Justin getting along being 2 years younger than the other people at college? Because I am doing work 2 to 4 years ahead. And I wonder how he is coping.
Hmm.
That's one of the questions.
That's a good one. Shall I just answer them each in turn?
Go for it.
All right. I would say Justin's doing great. He was able to kind of prepare himself, you know, spiritually and emotionally before he started college when he spent several months with his Uncle Tommy, who is like a professional counselor for teens.
Who is a good support system.
Right. Great support. So that's the key, I think, for Justin, is he's got a great support system. He's living open and honest, you know, like with his feelings and those kind of things. And so he's doing well, but it took that kind of preparation to be able to go into it. And but yeah, he's doing great.
And I think that that may be something that we look at in the future. We may be learning more about how Justin is doing and what's happening with him at college.
And,
so
yeah, what that whole thing looks like.
Exactly. Now, the second question is, sometime back in Much Ado About Something, there was something about what Maya did to Anna some years ago. What was that about? What did Maya do?
Okay, well, if we get in our little time machine here and go all the way back to season one, Maya was a real brat. She was.
Don't mince words, my friend.
Yeah, right. She was the first villain, really, that we had.
Oh, yeah. Gilead.
Yeah, she was the first Richter.
Tiffany was tame compared to Maya.
Well, we hadn't introduced Tiffany or Caleb or Tom or Monica. I mean, Maya was the first Richter that we met on the show. And how about if I just play a little bit of a scene kind of demonstrating what Maya did to Anna? Let's check it out.
Hi. Maya? What? I just want to say that... Oh, I'm sorry if I made you mad about the reading contest and all that.
Why would I be mad? I don't care what you do.
Well, I just thought that... I mean, I heard you talking in class, and...
Look, you can read as much as you want, but stop being such a kiss-up.
What?
Stop being the teacher's pet, Anna.
Maya, leave her alone.
Stay out of this, Mike. Reading a million books, bringing in cookies, what's next? You're going to bring an apple for Mrs. Collins tomorrow?
But I wasn't trying to. I just...
Oh. Anna, wait up!
Michael, what are you doing?
She was trying to be nice to you, Maya.
Michael, come on!
So anyway, that gives you a little taste of kind of like what the initial relationship was like between Anna and Maya. It was
and that's all
rough.
In classic Down Gilead Lane.
Yeah, yeah, classic.
So if you haven't heard that and you'd like to order it or try and find it somewhere on MP3...
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
Down Gilead Lane Season 1, you can order online.
We have one more Cassandra question.
Yes.
People in Down Gilead Lane have different interests, but I've noticed there really isn't anybody into music or that plays an instrument. I love classical music, and I was wondering why that is.
Well, that's a really good question. Well, I guess that we don't really have a satisfactory answer.
You might see it in the future.
Yeah.
It's just the way that everything has come about, the way that people have grown, the characters. You know, when you're writing, you can say, this is exactly where the characters are going to grow and go, because you're kind of in control of that. But sometimes, you know, it just wouldn't fit the character.
Right.
And I don't think that we've found anybody quite yet who would be into playing an instrument or classical music, but that doesn't mean that it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and I mean, it would be great to have a character that's their thing. So thank you for that suggestion, Cassandra.
Yes, and I do love music, by the way. I play flute and piano and sing.
Really? I did not know that.
The things you learn in the Down Gilead Lane podcast.
Wow, you're very talented. I don't play anything. I took trumpet lessons as a kid. But I play the radio. That's what instrument.
And that's
I
what
play.
You do, and you do it well. Yeah. So why bother working with anybody else? At the radio, you can play Mozart and Beethoven.
Right.
So why bother trying?
All right. Kidding. So do we have any other mail to look at?
I think that we did. Is Mike good at b-ball in real life?
Yes.
That's from Dwight.
Dwight. Yes, he is. The actor Chris, who plays Mike, he is good at basketball. Yep.
Football, from what I recall.
Yeah, well, he plays in high school on his football team and his baseball team, but I don't think he plays on the basketball team. But I have seen him tossing a page of the script that he's done with, like, into the trash can from, like, across the studio. So and he nailed it. So I'm thinking he's good at basketball, too.
It's kind of impressive. You should videotape that.
You're right.
Add it to a video podcast.
There you go. Okay, we'll keep that in mind.
So there's another question. When is the next Funcast episode going to be posted? Austin wants to know.
Well, that we're answering that right now.
I think we answered that the moment this went live on the air.
Exactly. But
whenever that might be.
Austin also had a comment before that question, which was, I found you a few weeks ago and really like it.
Like that.
Awesome, Austin. Thank you.
Very cool. You can spend the summer catching up because we're going to be having some reruns for those of you who don't know about some of those past seasons or the past things that have happened.
Uh-huh.
This will be your chance to catch up in the reruns.
All right. And now as far as comments for us, comments and questions that didn't necessarily come through the email, but did come through the Coleraine Connection threads on the message boards. What do we got there?
Aquarius mentioned, thanks for answering my questions. We must have done that in the last podcast.
You're welcome.
And I think I would like to audition, but I have no idea what to read.
Oh, well, we've got that all set. You don't need to bring reading material. We've got monologues and dialogues, and we provide all of that when a person
doesn't
comes.
He sound all directory and producery when he does that?
When a person comes to audition, we have what they need. You need to know your personal information because you got to fill out a sheet with your name, address, contact info. And
so you need to know how to spell your name.
Yeah, those kinds of things. And any kind of past experience that you have in acting, it's good to have that info on hand as well.
Basically a resume sort of thing.
Yeah. All right. What other kinds of comments, questions, and thus?
Well, basically, Ian, he is the person who's listening from Malaysia. He says, praise God for the World Wide Web so I can listen to Christian programs like DGL and AIO, because in my country, Christian radio and television are not allowed.
Wow.
And I think that's so important to point out to people who have been born and raised here in the United States that other countries and other places don't have the freedoms that we have.
That's true. And we're putting together an episode right now. You are writing a script that's about taking things for granted.
Yes, I am. Right now, like as soon as we get off the podcast.
Uh-huh.
I will be working on that exact episode in season 11.
So speaking of taking things for granted, that's a great reminder from Ian about not taking our freedoms here in this country that we can have at the turn of a radio switch or click of a computer mouse.
It's so easy here in the United States. And you forget that there are places where churches are not on every corner.
Mm.
So that's very important to keep in touch. Now, one of the things that Ian wanted to know was I've missed the earlier seasons, and it's very difficult for him to buy the albums because he lives in Malaysia.
Yeah.
But it says, what kind of slander did the Richters make against Grace?
Okay. Well, it might be interesting if any of our, informed listeners, people who have been listening from the beginning or are at least up to speed on where Gilead began, went on the message board here, the Coleraine Connection thread, and answered his question. I'll give a real quick answer so that you've got something for right now. Basically, Grace hasn't always been blind. She was blinded in an automobile accident when she was 7 years old, and Tom Richter, who at the time was like 17 years old, was the cause of that accident. And Tom's father, Tom Richter Sr.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. He was very much into image and what people perceived, and he didn't want any kind of bad press, so to speak, for the Richter family. So he covered up the entire accident that, his son Tom was involved at all, and has been basically perpetuating a lie. And Tom, as he became an adult, he sort of took over perpetuating that lie that there was ever any kind of anything going on. And so when Grace started to tell the truth about what happened, then there was sort of this propaganda machine, this slander, as you put it, against her, that she's just crazy, that she's...
They kept calling her Crazy Grace.
Right. And she's like, she's hallucinating, and she's just, all this is going on in her head and it's not for real. And so they slanted the whole town's opinion against her credibility so that they could continue to get away with the lie.
They even scared some people.
Yeah, true.
Keep your kids away from Crazy Grace.
Right. And they used, what's that called? Intimidation tactics.
Which, the Richters never do that.
Right. So anyway, that all happened kind of like within the first four seasons of the show. That's where you can learn about that stuff. And
that's very brief. And yes, if you are, if you have any other people who are out there listening and saying, but you didn't say this and you didn't say that and you didn't, then go to the message board and fill Ian in yourself.
There's a lot of details. That was just kind of like a surface overview.
Exactly. Right. And the message boards, you know, we need to reiterate, those are a really great place to hang out. They are a safe place where you can meet with other fans of Down Gilead Lane. You can get your podcast questions to Steve and I. And, you know, I am on the message boards often and answer questions. You can put out theories about what's going to happen next season. What is Piece of Heaven about?
Oh, and, yeah.
You know, who's involved in all that stuff. And it's a wonderful place. And now you know that you can meet people from other countries.
Yeah, that's
who
awesome.
Who have the same interests that you do. So thanks again, Ian, for getting in touch.
Yes.
And if you guys want to get in touch, Steve, what's the wonderful phone number?
That number is 1-877-937-5397, toll free within the United States. If you're outside the United States, you, I guess, will have to pay something to call that number. But you could, like we were talking about before, you could just make an MP3 and email it to us.
At ccfuncast@gileadlane.org.
Nice segue.
Yeah, I do this professionally every now and then.
So there you go. And of course, don't forget the message boards, which are found at cbhministries.org.
And now we did have one more person call in.
Oh, that's right. We don't want to forget about this person. Let's take a listen to their comment.
Yes, Stephen Moore. This is a fan from Arkansas. And I just got done listening to the episode God Love and How Many Sponsored Things. And I thought you did a very good job writing this. And I wanted to say that there for a while there, you kind of had me going thinking that Tiffany was going to become a Christian in this episode. But ultimately, I thought you did a very good job. And I was wondering if by any chance you could drop in some hints about the next episode. If Steve will let you, Lori. But anyway, thanks for taking my call.
Bye-bye. Woo!
Yeah, so there you go. They've got some nice things to say about your episode there, Lori, so good job there.
And speaking of great segues...
Yeah, also wanted to know some kind of, like, information on what we can expect in the last two episodes of the season.
Exactly. Since these are the last two episodes of the season, I was able to kind of pull Steve out of his non-teasy phase. And I actually think that I'm starting to have somewhat of an influence on Steve because he's starting to enjoy teasing people. But yeah, we've got two big, humongous, ginormous, gargantuan episodes coming up.
Yeah.
And we want to definitely give you some indication. Last season, we ended with Mr. Key's house getting bulldozed.
That's right. Yeah.
What can you hear this season?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and let go of the titles.
Woohoo!
Yeah. So this weekend's episode 10-11 is Hold Lightly, Part 1.
Ooh.
Can you take a wild guess what the title of 10-12 is going to be?
Hold Lightly, Part 2?
Yeah! Good job! You win the something. I don't know what. Anyway, yes. So these episodes are Hold Lightly, Parts 1 and 2. And let's go ahead and just give a little tease, play a little scene from Hold Lightly, Part 1. Here you go.
I tried to call the ministry, but the leaders are all out of town on our retreat.
Uh-huh. Wouldn't matter much anyway. This falls under Coleraine's jurisdiction. In fact, they... Oh, boy.
I'm sorry, what?
I pulled up the zoning ordinance from October 20th. Mm. The one that got Mr. Key's house.
Yeah.
It's a little hard to decipher from the wording, and it's kind of strange. The plat is missing.
Well, tell me.
This eminent domain ruling extends to Miss Andrews' house.
Wait. State law says they're supposed to post a notice of zoning change sign right next to the property. Now, I never saw...
Here's a photo of the sign right next to Miss Andrews' house.
Well, I'm not going to let this happen. No, sir, not on my watch.
Sorry, Mayor. They allow 90 days to appeal. We're way past that now. Looks like it's a done deal.
This is insane.
After 90 days, the ruling is final. I'm sorry, there's nothing you can do.
Wrong. There's always something we can do.
Yeah, so that kind of whets the appetite, huh?
It does. It leads me to believe these episodes might be Brobdingnagian.
Okay, now you're going to have to explain that.
Okay, that is a word. It is in the dictionary. It is Brobdingnagian. It is a real word.
Brobdingnagian,
of extraordinary size, gigantic, or enormous.
So you were just looking for something even bigger than ginormous.
Well, I was. I mean, it's a long story, but there's a different place that I actually post on the internet, and
it's not going to show up in an episode of Gilead, is it?
I don't know. It's probably more likely going to show up in an episode of the podcast.
So okay, well, here
like
you
the
go.
Season 10 rap is Brobdingnagian.
Okay. Wow. So that was a scene from 10-11. And
you learn when you listen to the podcast.
There you
we
go.
Teach you.
Our tangents are educational.
They are. I hope parents appreciate us.
That's right. Edutangential. I don't know.
I'm do that so much better than I do.
I'm making up words. Hey, and then 10-12 is still like in post-production right now.
Which I know scares Steve.
To death.
But God has it under control.
That's right. It airs the 14th, weekend of the 14th of June.
And Steve's working on it.
I'm working on it. Let me just see if I can pull out something here that we could throw into the podcast. Let's see. How about this?
Brooke, Dad found those old home videos of you.
No.
Yep, he's going to show them tonight.
No, no, no.
Mm-hmm. The one of you in your diapers when you dumped lime jello on your head and sang Yankee Doodle?
What? That's not a home video. It's a horror film.
Hey,
whoa.
Ouch.
Hey, whoa.
What happened?
Whoa.
What happened to the lights?
We've lost power.
It's a gift from heaven.
Here. Excuse me, Luke. Let me see out the window for a moment.
Oh, yeah, sure. Sorry.
They're doing construction across the street. I bet they accidentally hit the power line.
Dad, is everything all right? Mom told me about all the stuff they're building across the street, but what's this I heard about a highway?
That's not all. They're going to knock down Miss Grace's house.
What?
I'm afraid it's true.
Oh, no.
Yep, it was a zoning thing. Eminent domain. Happened before I took office.
You mean this could be the end of Gilead Lane?
Yes.
So there you go. I'm not going to give you much, but there's a little bit from the season finale of season 10.
And as we mentioned earlier, I am working on season 11.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
As we speak.
That's kind of exciting. Yeah, we're putting that together. There's some great stuff coming up here in season
11. Oh, I am very excited about that. And literally, as you are listening to this podcast, I will be writing episodes 1 and 2.
All right. And we'll talk
more. That's not a spoiler, is it?
No.
Okay.
We'll talk more about season 11 in the Brobdingnagious, I don't know what is
Brobdingnage.
Yeah. In the huge season 10 blowout wrap up episode of the podcast. And hey, you know, now that we're kind of like in the clip playing mode, let's play those deleted scenes clips from episodes 9 and 10. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so this is the scene in Going Through the Motions where we hear Mr. and Mrs. Townsend kind of talking a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that kind of ran long. That scene just kind of like kept on going. And so there was a little bit in the middle there that I hacked out, that I sort of chopped out.
Hacked.
And let me just play that for you so you have it. Here it is.
Hey, hon.
Mm-hmm.
I saw something today that caught my eye, and it made me think of you.
Oh?
I know I've been working a lot of hours lately, and you've been really patient through it all. I just wanted to get you something that says, I love you.
You got me something?
Here, I picked it up at the jewelry store.
A necklace? Oh, it's beautiful.
I thought you'd like it.
Don't
worry, we can afford it.
Oh, no, it's not that.
Okay, then.
It's a cross.
Aren't crosses fashionable? Like, they're in or something?
Oh, honey, this was very thoughtful, but would you mind if I traded it in for something else?
Well, sure, but
I'm just not comfortable wearing a religious symbol, that's all.
Okay.
The thought was nice. You scored lots of points there.
Well, that's good.
Oh, thanks, hon. I'm going to watch the news.
Okay. Oh, Mary Morrison came by the store today.
So there you go. That kind of adds a little bit of depth to what's happening there with Mrs. Townsend, right?
It does.
Yeah.
And, you know, those scenes always give you a little bit more insight into Yeah, kind of behind the scenes, your inside right. scoop.
Yeah. So, and then as far as episode 10 goes, Love is a Many Splintered Thing.
Too much to mention. There's, Lori was way overblown.
There's a plethora of
Ooh, that's
options.
One of my favorite words, too.
That's a good word. Of options of stuff I could put in here. But this is one that Lori and I agreed must be heard.
Oh, yes.
You heard Tiffany coming home and kind of explaining, right, and explaining what happened at the dance. How'd you like to actually go there and see what happened at the dance?
See, I think this was fun. This is cool.
And now, your choice for the king and queen of this year's spring ball, Bob Wallace and Tiffany Richter. If the king and queen and their dates would please make their way up to the stage to be crowned. And now, as the queen is crowned and dons her royal robe, it is time for the royal dance.
Come on, I guess it's time to dance.
Oh, Randy, isn't this wonderful?
yeah, it's great.
It's everything I'd imagined. It's all so wonderful. And now that I'm queen and you're here with me, there's no stopping us. We'll eat lunch together and spend study halls together and graduation.
Whoa, hold on there. What are you talking about?
Well, us. The sky's the limit. Everyone's gonna know what a happy couple we are.
We're not a couple, Tiffany.
But you came to my house and...
Yeah, to meet your folks before the date.
What?
Listen, you're the most popular girl in the school. I'm the new guy. How do I get to know people? Go out with the most popular girl. That's it. I mean, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings or anything, but this was just a date. Not even a real date. Just... I want to be friends. That's all.
You just went out with me because I'm popular?
I heard you wouldn't mind. You'd understand. You do understand, don't you?
Yeah, Randy. I understand.
Still friends?
Sure. Thank you for the dance. It was very nice.
Hey, Tiffany, where are you going? The dance isn't over yet.
All right.
And, little known fact.
Yes?
Who was the announcer in that episode, Mr. Odell?
Hey, that's right. Well, we got to hear you in the hallway in the earlier scene.
Yes, but I'll bet you most people might not have known that it was me because you messed with my voice a little bit.
A little. I mean, we just, you know, made it coming over the loudspeakers.
But so. I put on the teacher's voice.
Oh, yeah, you did that too. So there you go. Lori Twitchell's debut performance in an actual episode of Down Gilead mm-hmm. Lane.
I am multi-talented, what can
go.
I say?
And now you're going to have this huge uprising of support and people saying, bring back the announcer lady. What is she? I guess you'd be like the secretary of the school, right?
Yeah,
something
I
like
would
that.
Guess so, yeah.
I don't think you'd
like
be the
that.
Principal, and I don't think you're necessarily a teacher, but...
Maybe
yeah.
a librarian.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
I always liked the library. I was
She's the Coleraine High too. Events Coordinator.
Oh, that's just, that fits me.
Yeah.
To a T. So yeah. There you go.
There you go. Anyway, so now Lori has a character that she plays on Down Gilead Lane. If you ever want to hear that character again, send your requests to ccfuncast@gileadlane.org.
And now, is that the end of the podcast?
And that, I believe, does it for another episode of The Coleraine Connection. Next time, like we said, it's that word that I can't pronounce.
Brobdingnagian.
The Brobdingnagian. season
wrap
10.
Up.
Season 10 wrap up. Yeah, we'll do it. And we'll be talking about, like, you know, the season 10 awards. We'll be talking about maybe some of the drawing board stuff that's happening on season 11. And just generally kind of like... looking back over season 10. So,
yep.
Until then.
Setiap hari perlu sedikit kasih karunia.
All right. Cool.
Courtesy of Ian. Thank you.
From Malaysia.
So much.
All right. And we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Good night. Thank you. Thank you very much.
There you go. You have to include that.